Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get your pen, get a notepad if you're able, because we're getting ready to study the Word of God. We're going to continue teaching along the lines of understanding the born-again experience and the saving of the soul. It is so important that the believing Christians of this day and this hour be taught the born-again experience and the saving of the soul from a biblical point of view. There's a lot of teaching regarding born again, but I try to take the scriptures to prove to you what the Bible say about being born again. And I want to show you in this lesson the importance of the soul being born again. The Bible said being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says in that we are to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. So now that we are born again, we know that it's the spirit in us that's born again. But now we got to stay walking in the spirit and the word of God, so that the word of God will cause our souls to be born again. Now, this process of the soul being born again is a walk. It's a life, and God fixed it that way. The Bible said we have to go all the way to the saving of our souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Do you not know you have to go all the way to the salvation of your soul? And the salvation of your soul, or the finishing work in your soul, won't take place until the end of your faith. That's what the Bible teach. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and verse 39, it verifies that by the scripture. It says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So the soul is on a different program than the spirit. And that's why I've distinguished one great salvation implemented in three different areas of our life, which is spirit, soul, and body. The spirit has immediately been born again the day you accepted Jesus Christ. The soul is being born again as we receive the incorruptible word of God, and the body will be redeemed and made glorified at the last trump. The Bible said when the trumpet sound, we're going to receive a glorified body. That's the full plan of salvation. Hallelujah. So today, we're going to focus mostly on the saving of the soul. This is going to be part 5 of the series regarding understanding the born-again experience and the saving of the soul. If you didn't catch part 1, 2, 3, and 4, we want to encourage you to go to our website, and we will put it on the website, and you can go listen to it as often as you like, absolutely free. We don't charge for the word of God. We encourage you to disciple yourself in the word of truth. Jesus said in St. John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we make the word of God without charge so that you can go and be discipled according to the word of God. The Bible said freely we have received and freely give. Whenever a man of God truly get a word from God, it is the will of God that we give that word freely. Amen. We believe that God is the one that touch hearts to support the teaching and preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we don't have to make the gospel with charge. So we want to encourage you that if you've been blessed by any of this teaching, you'll be able to go online and check it out as often as you like. We will give the web page at the end of the message, but I'll call it out now just for the sake of those of you that want to write it down at this moment. You can go to www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. You can get all the teaching, preaching you like. Amen. And you can search the scriptures with me. You can cause your soul to walk in the glorious word of God. Amen. Until the coming of the Lord. Now, let's go to the lesson for the day. I want to start by quoting Genesis 2, verse 7. I want you to keep in mind that the Bible teaches us that God made man spirit, soul, and body, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Man is spirit, soul, and body. But God himself decided to call the man a soul. And I want to encourage you to stick with the Bible and let the Holy Spirit confirm to you that God said that the man is a soul, and we need to stick with that throughout the scriptures. I want you to know that the scriptures is not misinterpreted. Amen. The word soul means soul. And I know sometime in the Bible, you may see the word soul and spirit, and it may seem like it's interchangeable. But all you got to do is look at the context of the chapter or the scripture that you see soul or spirit, and it will tell you which one it is, so you won't be confused when it says soul and spirit. But keep in mind that the word soul is not mistranslated, contrary to what many may say. God made man a soul. So Genesis 2 verse 7, the Bible says, God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Bible records that man is a soul. If you stick with that fact throughout the Word of God, you will be safe. Give you a confirming verse, because the Bible said that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. In other words, I don't need to give you what I say the Bible say. I need to give you what the Bible say. So let me give you a confirming scripture and another verse by the Apostle Paul that would bear witness with what Genesis 2 verse 7 said. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45. The Bible says that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So there you have two witnesses that man is a soul. Then I want you to go to Mark chapter 8 verse 34 down to verse 36. And we want to read it careful, because I want to show you what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that man is a soul. I'm going to emphasize a few words in these verses to show you that Jesus said that the man is a soul. Now, in verse 34, Mark chapter 8, it says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. Okay, notice that word, whosoever. It says, let him deny himself. Notice the word him and the word himself. And take up his cross and follow me. Verse 35. For whosoever will save his life. Notice the Bible said whosoever. And notice the Bible says his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Again, you see the word whosoever, and you see the word his life. Now look at verse 36, and Jesus is going to explain to you the whosoever, the himself, and the his life. The Bible says in Mark 8 verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus trying to tell us that the soul is the person. The soul is the himself, the his life. That's what the soul is. So it bear witness with Genesis 2 verse 7. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It bears witness with the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Let's go to Luke, and we'll look at verse 25. And we're going to give you another confirming verse by the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Gospel of Luke. The Bible says in verse 25 of the ninth chapter of Luke, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself? There Jesus is telling us that the himself is the soul, because he's still talking about the same thing that the Gospel of Mark was talking about. I want to read it again. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The himself is the soul. The man is a soul. And that's what Jesus taught. I believe we've established that man is a soul, and the word soul is not mistranslated. Now, Proverbs 11 in verse 30 says, whoso winneth souls is wise. Why did the proverb say, whoso winneth souls is wise? Because if you win the soul, you win in the person. The soul is the person. Keep in mind that the soul is bigger than the mind, the will, and emotions. Popular teaching tell us that it's the mind, will, and emotion. But the bottom line is when you search the scriptures, the soul is bigger than the mind, will, and emotions. The soul contains the mind, the will, and the emotions. The soul is the entire person, and the person possesses spirit. According to Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man, which is a soul, the spirit of the soul," you could say it like that, glory to God, "is the candle of the Lord." So the spirit that's in the soul is not the person. The spirit that's in the soul is called the candle of the Lord. Give you a confirming verse for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in the man?" Telling us that the man possesses a spirit inside. And we've already looked at a verse that says the spirit in the man is not the man. You can go to several other verses to confirm that there's a spirit in man, and that spirit in man is called the candle of the Lord. You can look at Job 32, verse 8, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 21, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8, Zechariah 12, verse 1. The spirit that's in the man is not the man. Now, popular teaching has taught us, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Sounds pretty, but that's not the scripture. The scripture is clear. Man is a soul. Man is a soul. He possess a spirit, and he live in a body. Some people may say, well, it don't really matter. No, it matters. If you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning at verse 5 down to verse 7, you will see what happens to a soul when he's lost. The Bible said that man, which is a soul, goeth to his long home, which is eternity. Then you will see the spirit in the man return to God who gave it. Then you will see the body that the man live in return to the dirt. What happened? God judged the soul. Why? Because the soul is the person. Now, let's keep traveling. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible said we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Do you not know Jesus Christ want to be the shepherd and the bishop of your soul? Why? Because Jesus knows that the soul is the person. God is the one created the man and called him a soul. Why? Because that's who he is. And if we get this mixed up, we'll never understand the saving of the soul. So the soul is the person, and Jesus want to be the bishop and the shepherd of a man's soul. Now, Matthew 11, glory to God, verse 28 and 29. The scripture says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus want to give rest to your soul, because the soul is truly the person. And that's the person that God want to win. That's the person that if he don't live right, he going to lose out with God. The Bible said the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So God calls your spirit to be born again in order to win your soul. Now, this is the way the scripture teach salvation. So this is not something that we thought up. This is something the scripture bear out. And as you search the Bible, you'll see this all over the word of God. Amen. So let's move on to a few more scriptures. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 17, he gave a fivefold ministry, and he said to obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul. You never really see in the Bible where the scripture said they watch for your spirit. You never see in the Bible where Jesus said, what do it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his spirit? But what you will see in the Bible is to not fear them that are able to kill the body and not able to kill the soul, but to fear him that is able to kill the body and the soul and destroy it in hell. But you never see that about the spirit. Why? Because the spirit in the man is the candle of the Lord. It is God's entity in that man. It is God's candle in that man. It is the knower in that man. It knows God. It is one with God, especially after the born again experience. And it's that spirit in the man that keeps that man in touch with God. And if the soul who makes the choices follow after the spirit, he will walk in the spirit while he on earth. And at the end of his life, when the spirit returned to God, guess who's going to return with him? The soul. Amen. So God put a spirit in us to guide us. That's why the scripture says in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Who is the they? Souls. God made the human race souls. And they that worship me, the souls that worship me, must worship me in spirit and in truth. Romans 8, verse 9, the Bible says that if we have the spirit in us, we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in us. Who is in the spirit? The soul. The soul is placed in the spirit at the new birth and cleaned up and sanctified and preserved to be saved. Glory to God. So as we read the Bible, you'll see that what I'm teaching today about the saving of the soul has always been in the scripture. We just need to break it down and see exactly what God has planned to do with the soul. He has planned to redeem it. Amen. And in order to redeem it, he caused it to be sanctified. And now you got to follow Jesus Christ throughout your life, obeying the scriptures. And at the end of your faith is the finishing work, which is the salvation of your soul. That is the way God plans salvation. Not many teach it this way, but I'm teaching it this way because this is the way the scripture teach it. And I'm giving you nothing but the scriptures. So I'm encouraging you to go search the scriptures for yourself. Jesus said in St. John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. So if you think you have eternal life, let's verify it by these scriptures. Glory to God. Now, Titus 3 and verse 5, I want you to read it. The Bible tells us how we got saved. He said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Three things took place in the new birth. It was a regeneration, it was a washing, and it was a renewing. The spirit is the only thing that was regenerated. Regenerate means birth. So the spirit received a new birth. The body and the soul received the washing and received the renewing, and hence it was sanctified. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 declares, after a man is born again, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. At the new birth, everything became new. The spirit was born, the body and the soul was washed and renewed. That man was a new creature. The Bible said, old things are passed away, and all things are now of God. So therefore, when God caused us to be born again, there was no sin left in us, because Galatians 5 verse 24 said he crucified the affections and the lust that was in us. The Bible says, according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 down to verse 3, that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But he took that old nature out of us. He caused the spirit of the prince of the power of the air that was living in us to exit, and we became new creatures. We no longer have a sin nature at the new birth. Now we have the nature of God, and we can walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And now I want to encourage you to believe the scriptures, because I know there's a lot of teaching in the body of Christ regarding the sin nature. But the sin nature does not exist in a born-again person. If a born-again person chooses to create lust in his life again, the Bible said every man is tempted when he is drawn of his own lust. When you're born again, you have to start back thinking on evil, and you have to go back to do evil and sin again before lust even start working in you. So if you go back and make a choice to sin after you've been born again, You can't blame it on a sin nature. The Bible called that lust. And lust will drive you to sin, and you'll have a passion to sin after you committed that act, because there are what you call affections in the body. And whenever you give your body over to sin, then you leave a craving in your body for the sin you gave it to. So that's what drives you if you have lust in your life. It is not that you have a sin nature. God took that sin nature out. So we don't want to rely on God. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So let's believe the word of God and stop believing the admired teachers that are teaching lessons which is no more than doctrines of men that are inspired by demons. So let's go back to the word for today. Man, we're talking about the saving of the soul. So we know now that the soul has been preserved. In Romans 8 verse 24, the Bible said we are saved by hope. Why is that scripture in the Bible if we already got it all now? We got it all in the spirit. We have been cleaned up and washed and sanctified according to Titus 3 and verse 5. And now 1 Thessalonians verse 5 and 23 said, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. So that means you can stay that way all the way till Jesus come if you walk in the scriptures and obey him. It is the soul that makes the choices. Man, it is the soul that decides. God made every soul with choice. It is your choice to live righteous. It is your choice to live unrighteous. The Bible said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. The power of Calvary gave you your choice back. You can choose to serve God and you can choose to serve the devil. Everyone that made it to heaven got there because they chose to go. It wasn't because the blood of Jesus or the cross just swept them into heaven. It wasn't because the grace of God just swept them into heaven. No, you go to heaven by choice, or you go to hell by choice. It is your choice. Again, the scripture teaches plainly, you can choose to live a righteous life for the rest of your life. Glory to God. Luke 1, beginning at verse 70, go down to verse 75. The Bible teaches that we can live a righteous and a holy life all the days of our life. There's no such thing as I can't live without sin. Any preacher or anyone that try to tell you that there is no such thing as sinless perfection, they don't really believe in the work that Jesus Christ did on Calvary. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, did he destroy the works of the devil or not? I submit to you, he did destroy the works of the devil. So if he destroyed the works of the devil, which is sin, then that means we have power to walk free from sin. Give you a confirming verse that we can walk free from sin and walk just like our Savior. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The scriptures say, if we say we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. If you stay in the abiding of Christ, you can walk in the spirit and not sin. The Bible says in Psalm 4 and verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. All of these scriptures on sin not, sin not, sin not. So God expects for the new creature to cease from sinning. Give you a scripture on that to confirm it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So you can cease sinning. I know the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's another verse that says in Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here is God's answer. God forbid. If God has forbidden sin, that means you can live without sin. So don't believe the famous gospel, no such thing as sinless perfection. Sinless perfection simply means you can live a consistent, righteous, and holy life all the days of your life by choice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 down to verse 3, the Bible is clear that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That sounds like a life without sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, the Bible says he died that he might present a church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such stain. That sounds like a church without sin. Hallelujah. Go read 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 11, all the way down to verse 14. When he come back, that's the type of church he coming back for, and he's coming back to find a church that's walking blameless. Amen. And in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1, you have a picture of a virgin church that was waiting on the bridegroom, and five of them was wise and five of them was foolish. And when the bridegroom came, five virgins went back with him and five was left. I'm telling you, just because you're born again don't mean you automatically going back with the king. You got to be born again and obey the scriptures and be ready when Jesus comes. The Bible says don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. You have to do the word. That's what the Bible means in Philippians 2 verse 12. After you saved, the scripture give us instruction. Now work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's called the salvation of your soul. Praise God. Give you some more verses to look at. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Keep in mind the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 24, we are saved by hope. Now in Hebrews 6, verse 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This is talking about the saving of the soul. In Luke 21, verse 19, Jesus told the apostles, in your patience, you'll possess your soul. What is he talking about? He's talking about the saving of the soul, which take place at the end of your faith, according to 1 Peter 1:9. The soul is on a different program. Hebrews 3 and verse 6, it says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm all the way to the end. What do you think he's talking about there? The saving of the soul. Look at verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. Watch this. If, which is conditional, we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. There again, he's talking about the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39 say we go all the way to the saving of our souls. Praise God. The soul is going to be judged by walking in the scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, how that we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul said, we labor that we might be accepted of him. Don't think you're going to be accepted of him if you're not walking right. The Bible said he's going to judge us with things done in our body, both good and bad. So on that day, we want to make sure we are walking in the scriptures when we meet Jesus. Revelation 14 and 13, I want you to read it. I want you to read Revelation 22 and 12. I want you to read Romans 2, verse 11, Romans 2, verse 13, and Romans 2 and verse 8. All of these scriptures simply talks about when we die, our works will follow us. And Jesus is going to inspect our works. He's going to inspect our labor. And he's going to issue rewards based upon our labor. And the Bible said he is no respecter of person. So I want to encourage you that if you're born again, you're supposed to be walking in obedience to the scriptures. The Bible says in John 10, verse 28, that he give unto us eternal life and we shall never perish. But if you read verse 27, it says, and they follow him. So you have to follow Jesus after you get born again. And it's called working out your salvation with fear and trembling. For more free teaching, www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. This is Apostle Lewis, and we love you. Thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.